The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
Well, let's rise to our feet again. Please, let's declare God's word. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
Amen.
One more time, amen.
Amen.
Again, I declare that that is your portion today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Understanding has come to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Shadow boxing has gone away from your life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What do I mean by that? Boxing has won, boxing the air. Paul said, I don't box like that. Every business, you have put hand in it. You don't even know whether you are called to ministry or not. That is not your portion again in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Understanding has come to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Direction has come into your life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we are studying the book of Ecclesiastes. We'll continue. It's so important that we know the word of God. These things were recorded so that we will have direction. I preached a message last year, not here, all right, which I titled Operating with God's Compass. Many people are living life without the compass of God. And when you talk to people every day, you'll be amazed how they live life not having direction, not having order. I mean, you can imagine, there's a story I told before, but it's so instructive. When smartphones became the in thing, you know, the normal thing, use a smartphone. I'm a very funny person. Sometimes I resist some of these things for a long time. Maybe I just hate something like a fad. I resist. So I was using my normal phones. Then one day, I switched and got an LG Android. And as you know, human beings, normally, we just assume we know how to use phone because you use Nokia, you use them, Sagem, you use Triumph. I started life with Triumph. I don't know how many of you were born the time we're using Triumph. All right? We use Sagem, Motorola. So we use all kinds of phones. And of course, we have used Samsung Blue Eye. We've used all those things. I remember one LG I bought for my wife then too. We use all those. Oh, fine phones, fancy phones. And my first best phone that time was a Sony J5. We've used phones left. See how many models? Only me don't use that time. Finally, I got my first Android phone. And I just assumed that because I've used so many phones, I mean, there's nothing. I should be able to use it. So my phone rang. Pick the call now. I began to press the screen. I press the screen tire. The phone, no gray answer. I found out to navigate. It was the hardest experience of my adult life. Finally, I humbled myself and pulled out the manual. And I began to read. And I said, when you want to answer the phone, slide it. I said, that's a new one. When you want to reject the call, slide the other way. When you hold it like this, the screen locks. To unlock the screen, you do this. You launch your apps this way. Now, I just assume I could, you know, figure them out by myself. Now, this is interesting thing about life. Many people are still trying to answer the call of their life. God is calling them. They are punching their phone. It's not moving. Take your Bible and read. Find the direction for life. Life is not haphazard. Listen, everything you have to learn. When you hear human beings talk sometimes, you know, there are people, when I deal with people sometimes, I wonder, I say, Lord, you mean people are actually this, you know, stupid, you know what I mean? That's not an insult, that's a description. Are you getting my point? You mean people are this ignorant and they are moving around in life. One man saw me the other day in my office, he said, you never do New Year for me, make I come. So I said, and I have a very interesting reason why I'm angry when I hear from him. I have my reasons, okay? So I said, you know they do New Year for person. Those of us who are speaking Nigerian English, you know what I'm talking about. Should we explain for our American audience? Okay, let's explain. For those who don't understand Nigerian English, do New Year means what? Celebrate, give me a gift. It's a new season. So I said, don't you give gifts also? You know what he said? You know I don't have now. I said something to him. He didn't realize the gravity of it. I said, now you talk him. And I walked away. He said, I don't get. I don't have. I said, na you talk am. Which means you said it. Be it unto you according to your words. There are things you don't hear me say. I don't have. No. There are words that if I say, I will start coughing. My body will revolt. Like, what did you say? There are words I don't use with the masses. There are words I don't use. All of these things are derivatives of learning. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. So sometimes I see people talk, and you wonder, say, they didn't educate you. I don't mind when I see unbelievers on the road. It's when I see Christians, I hear Christians talk that I'm alarmed. You hear Christians say that they want the president to die. And they claim they are praying for the country. Most Christians don't know how to pray. And you know, Christians gather every day, they are praying, and God is not listening to them. God is not listening to them. Many Christians are living life blindly, no compass. They don't know how to pray. They don't know how to, of course, you know the popular prayers these days. My enemies die. They will not die. Forget it. And if God answered you and they died, you will never prosper. Because the scripture is that he has to prepare a table in their presence. Lack of direction, lack of understanding. People are still praying. They are looking for where your placenta is buried. And you are still going to that church. In fact, I think you yourself, you have a spiritual problem. I'm telling you the truth. Christians are living life without compass, without direction. And when you say, okay, let us see that, like if we say now we're declaring 10 days prayer fasting, no eating, no drinking, after that, your whole life will be free. If you see sit in this place, it's because you came early. But everybody settle down, let us hear the word of God, let's learn. You know I'm busy. They didn't give me permission at work. I couldn't close on time. You hear all kinds of stories. But want to exalt the flesh so that we can say to people, when I took up the matter in prayer, it is not God we are glorifying, it is our ability to take up the matter. Operating life without a compass, very terrible. The Lord is good. If you want to do yourself a favor in this season, your life beginning from now, the way you make progress is through learning. Because there are many things people pray about, their problem is simply that they do not know the procedure of God. That's why we have to take time out to teach. I believe that more than ever before, you know, Jesus said they are like sheep without shepherds. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field. I am convinced that more than ever before, we need to pray to God, send us pastors after your own heart, who will feed us with knowledge and with understanding. Too much ignorance in the society. Church society, I don't mean the mosque and the beer palace. Those ones can operate anything they like. We're talking about church? No. The number of people that go to church in Nigeria, if we're able to train just 10% of them to walk in the will of God and pray effective prayers according to the word of God, you won't recognize the nation in 2 years. Next time you want to give somebody a gift, you've bought enough perfume. They are still smelling the same. You've not noticed? You've bought enough perfume. You've bought enough shirts. The shirts still wear out. You buy new ones. I think this time, when you want to give somebody a gift, buy a book. Buy a small size book and harass the person into reading it. Listen, there is an answer. There is the answer, that's better, to every issue of your life inside the Word of God. What you need is the discipline to search it out. That's what I'm explaining. That's what you need, the discipline to search it out. This year, you want to give somebody a gift. Don't worry, they have enough shirts. Are you getting my point? Find a book that contains an answer. Pray about it and give the person. Tell the person, listen to this message. Forward important things to people. Things that will give them knowledge, information. Help people navigate life. Life can be confusing. You are getting my point? Life can be confusing. Help people navigate life by giving them understanding. The Lord is good. All right, let's get into our message for today. Okay? The book of Ecclesiastes, that's what we are studying. Last time we introduced the subject. And I explained, of course, let me just give a short, just 2 minutes overview of what we said last time. We explained that, of course, we know the book was written by Solomon. And that it's a philosophical discussion. If you read the Good News translation, which I said, if you have to choose one translation, that is for me, is what I found to be the best to use. That is a Good News translation. If you have to choose one, I'm reading the New American Standard to lead this teaching. But if I had to choose only one, I'm just using that one as a main stem. We are putting all of them together, all right? But if I had to choose one, I found Good News translation to be the best to understand the book of Ecclesiastes. So we said it was, so if you read that Good News translation, if you read verse 12, in that verse 12, it said, I the philosopher. If you read the other versions, it will tell you, I the preacher and all of that. But if you read the Good News in verse 12, let me see whether I have it open here. Okay, yes, verse 12. He said, I, the philosopher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem. In fact, that segment is titled The Philosopher's Experience. That's the heading of that particular segment. So is this a philosophical discussion? A man who had wisdom and God gave him the ability to understand what's going on in life. That wisdom that God gave him, please, I want you to understand this. That wisdom that God gave him is something that that's something he received to be able to teach us. That is something he received to help all of us. It was not given to him for himself. God made Solomon very wise. It's to help you and me today. Everything was recorded for our learning. So must bear that in mind. I also said that he made his life an experiment. God allowed him to perform a living experience with his own life, with his own body. And the aim was that we today will not have to do the same things. There are things that Solomon did deliberately. We are not even allowed to make mistakes about them. I'll give my best example, of course, which I use again and again, is that Solomon said that he said that I gathered for myself the pleasures of men, of all men, many concubines. We know he married 700 wives and had 300 concubines. And with the same mouth, you know what he said, the conclusion of the experiment? Go and read, don't open to it. Okay, open to it. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18. Somebody has opened to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9. Don't bother opening to it. Let me just read out. He said, enjoy life with the wife of your youth. He was using a singular expression there. If you read that Ecclesiastes chapter 9, there he explained that rejoice with the woman you love all the days of your life. One woman. He was talking about it. Now, what does that tell you? If you have a wife, solve the problems. Are you getting my point? Yes, solve the problem between you and your wife. Don't go and marry another one. Because Solomon said a second wife is doubling the trouble. That's it. Do I need to marry many wives before I find out? God said, Banky, don't bother. If you marry many wives, you won't be able to preach. So to be able to convince you not to do it, I will have Solomon marry many. Then he will tell you, don't bother. And Solomon has told me, don't bother. And that is why Okemote has only one wife. Amen.
Amen.
Are you planning to marry a second one?
No,
a third one? No, we are not even done second. We are talking about third. We know it's foolishness. Solomon said it is foolishness. It is vanity. How do I know? He said it himself. Two portions of the scriptures there. Proverbs 5:18, you see it. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, I think verse 9 there. He said the same. Eh? Verse 9, yes. He said the same thing. So these are the things, that's what I mean by experiment that he conducted. So as we are going through the book, please follow me. We are going through the book to see these things that Solomon experienced and wrote for us. Thoughts. These days, they have a lot of philosophers out there. I was reading the story of Derek Prince again. Derek Prince's life history, and I listened to his messages again in recent days. And you see, he was a philosopher as a young man. Philosophy that people are just trying to discover, how do I say it? They are trying to discover meaning in life. Solomon has done all of these things, and there's no point getting involved in all the discussions trying to find meaning in life. He has found where meaning is. Are you getting my point here? So we are not to make the mistakes or waste the time that Solomon wasted trying to help us to understand things. I mean, you don't reinvent the wheel like we said. It's pointless. Experiments have been done. Conclusions have been written out. You're not supposed to be repeating them. Learn the conclusions and move on to the next level. And that is the point about the book of Ecclesiastes, one of the things, all right? The Lord is good.
All the time.
I said something else last time, let me repeat it again. It is not every statement you find there that's a fact. It is not like the book of Proverbs. Solomon will tell you in the book of Proverbs as an example, the poor and the rich have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. One single statement, you go to the next one. You know, he that loves money will not have enough of it. A simple statement, it goes to the next one. Most of the Proverbs, the whole book of Proverbs is single statement, single statement, single statement. Most of the whole book of Proverbs, single statement. Ecclesiastes is not like that. The man is reasoning. So there are statements he will make. Don't be fooled by it. He's not telling you this is the word of God. He's not telling you this is wisdom. You must learn how to decode it. He just makes a statement as a man who is thinking. Are you getting my point? Sometimes he'll tell you that. There's one I actually have here. If he will tell you that, maybe in verse, we'll get in today, in verse 1, chapter 2, he will tell you that, also I decided that just eat and drink and be merry. That's not the scripture. I mean, it's not God's commandment. He was saying that after I got frustrated, I decided the next thing to do is just to eat, to drink, and just be happy. Are you getting my point? So we have to be careful that you don't take every statement there as like the wisdom of God. Many of them are the reasonings of a philosopher. And at the end of the day, he will give you divine conclusion. So don't take his reasonings, his arguments as the word of God. Wait till you get to the conclusion and find out what the conclusion is. In fact, the whole of the book has only one conclusion. We'll get to it later. All right? Okay, let's talk about it. Fear God, obey his commandments. He said that's the whole duty that applies to everybody. All right? So these are the things we have looked at. Now, to continue today, we are going to read, but there's a word we have been reading again and again. Okay, let's just read it again. I'm sorry, we're going to go back to the beginning, even though we read it last time. Let's just start from verse 2. He said, vanity of vanities, says the preacher or the philosopher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What advantage does man have in all his work? So before I read further, let's define vanity. Now we're looking at it line by line now. We've done the introduction. I just did a small review of introduction again. Now, let's look at it. What's the meaning of the word vanity? It's important I explain it properly. This is my own understanding of it. Please follow this. Vanity is that illusion we create after we feel the effect, as it were, of a blessing from God. Well, let me explain what I say here. Let us assume now, listen to this. I want to send you on an errand. I say, okay, Muti, please. Quickly get to my house, let me pick something. So you want to start trekking. You're not used to cars. Are you getting my point? As an example. And I say, no. Let my car take you. Then you enjoy the ride and you come back. Then after that, you say, man, you start worshipping cars. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That is what vanity is. God uses something to bless us. God uses something to help us. They will now turn the thing to an object of life, of worship, and of something to seek after in life. The Bible says that is what? Vanity. This is how I explain it. If you read that portion again, he said, all is vanity. Later on, we'll get there in a moment. He says, like chasing after the wind. Wind is the way I like to explain what vanity is. Now, what does that mean when we say something like chasing after the wind? So just imagine that everywhere is very hot and breeze blows on you. You know the way it is. You close your eyes and soak in the breeze. Amen? You agree with me?
Yes, sir.
Let's assume now you now say, man, that breeze is so good. They say, wait, which direction did it go? You now carry your wife, your children, everyone starts pursuing the wind. You know, the whole society will come and say, wait, what happened to this family? Who is doing this to them? Are you getting my point? Yeah, that thing in itself is not vanity. Vanity is the fact that you are not now chasing it. I don't know whether you get my point. Is that effort really that is vanity? When you start running after something that God used to bless you. So what was Solomon trying to say? Solomon was trying to say that he didn't say those things were bad. He just said that any effort at trying to collect them is vanity. They don't have substance in themselves. If you like the breeze as an example, you turn around to the source of the breeze. Do you get my point here? All right. For example, I put one of these big typhoon fans to blow you. You don't start running after the breeze. You turn around to me and say, can I have that fan? You are getting my point. The fan is what you need. You don't need the breeze. But when the fan is working, it blows breeze on you. But in life, people start seeking the breeze. They start seeking the movement of air. And they don't get the source of air. And that's what Solomon was saying. If anybody is pursuing material things without pursuing God, he's chasing wind. Do you get the logic here? That is, yes, the house, it looks so solid, the house, big house, fine house. You enter inside it, oh, so comfortable a place. So you now go and say, let me go and work hard to get my own house like this. God says you've missed the point. That building you are seeing is wind. You are enjoying it now because I'm blowing it on you. If you labor by yourself to get it, you will not enjoy it for 1 second. Please, I hope you're following my point here. That's what we mean by vanity. What makes something vanity really is not the existence of food that makes food vanity, like Solomon was saying. It's not the existence of material things that make them vanity. It's when people start pursuing them. It is that pursuit that's actually the vanitizing effect. Oh, yeah. You like my English there? What was he saying? We'll find it later. He was saying, in effect, let God bless you. And you will see the Lord Jesus saying the same things in another way. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all other things will be what? Added. If God adds them, the vanity effect, you will not feel it. You just enjoy it. But then if you run after them, then you are dealing in vanity. What Solomon was saying is that nothing in life is worth pursuing. The source of every good thing is God. And that's what the Bible says. Every good and perfect gift, you are getting my point, comes from above, the Father of lights. That is where every good and perfect gifts come from. All right? And if you want the perfect gift, you want the good gift, never seek the gift itself. Never. Like our community was praying earlier, that we should pray for ourselves that this year we will seek God, we will not seek material things, that we are not supposed to be using God to get things. Many people think that they are serving God. They are not serving God, and God knows they are serving long life. They are serving prosperity. They are serving health. But somebody said to them, it's God that will give it. So they come to serve God. What they really want is what God gives. They don't want God himself. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. And that's the one mistake a lot of people make, and you must be careful you don't make that mistake. You are not supposed to serve God for what he gets. That is why you hear me say it all the time. When people say that, when you give, God will give back to you. We destroy the soul of Christianity with those messages. We are not supposed to give because of what God will give back. We are supposed to enjoy the process of giving. There must be joy in that idea of giving in our hearts. That's what it means when you are seeking the kingdom of God. That's what it means to serve God. If you are doing something for what God will bring back to you, you are not serving God. It is that thing you are serving. Please, we must understand what vanity is. Many Christians are pursuing vanity. They are pursuing vanity. A preacher will come and tell us a very, very beautiful stories. And sometimes some of those stories are true. Most of the times they are not true, but sometimes they are true. Yeah, preachers lie a lot. I hope you know that. We do. There are different kinds of lies. But just to that, preachers, it's in the Bible, sure you know. I need to say we, so that it won't be as if we are pointing fingers at people. It's a risk of the job. Okay? It's a risk. Don't be angry too much. Just know it's a risk. All right? If you're a policeman, you are likely to oppress people. It's a risk. If you're a preacher, you're likely to tell some lies. And it's in the scriptures. Say, this prophet, I did not speak to them, but they ran. It's in the Bible like that. Say, but he lied to him. So bear that in mind, okay? So, but the point I'm making is that so sometimes we preachers will come with all kinds of stories. And what makes some stories lies is when we tell a story in such a manner as to create a wrong impression in the heart of people. Sometimes we tell a story that this person did this. Okay, let me give a very good example. The Shunammite woman gave to Elisha. Amen?
Amen.
Answer me now. Amen?
Amen.
God blessed her. Amen?
Amen.
That's a very good story and it's accurate. If you want God to bless you, right now you will start giving to a prophet. That's a lie. The same story, but with a lying twist. Why? You forget that woman, when she gave to Elisha, she did not want a blessing in return. When she gave to Elisha, she said, I perceive that this is a holy man of God passing by us every day. Until you are ready to give like that woman, you are not ready for her kind of blessing. You can't cheat God. In this our God, you can't do him like this. What he does is that he will make sure you give persistently for 10 years and he won't give anything back. That's it, 10 years. I actually meant 12. You will give until you are tired. Let me give you a prophetic word. There are people listening to me that are still giving, waiting for God to give them back. God said, I will not give, prophetic word. The Lord said, I will not give you anything back. That's the end of the prophetic word. I will not give you anything back. Nothing. All this thing you have done waiting for me to repay, I'm not going to repay. Say, Lord, won't you bless me? Now, I'm going to give you a teaching word, not prophetic now, okay? But this is also the same thing, the same effect. The Lord says, yes, I will bless you when you stop thinking of what you will get back for what you are doing. In fact, for some people, the Lord says, don't do anything for 6 months. When you go to church, don't sweep. When they say offering time, say, I'm not giving today. 6 straight months, keep your money in your pocket. Eat it, waste it. Go and buy 2 bottles of Gouda and drink. Okay, you don't like Gouda. Stout. Guinness stout. So the money I was supposed to be offering, not normal money, the one you were supposed to give as offering. That's what I'm saying you should use for that too. So where are you getting that? God says, I want you to be able to pray knowing that you don't deserve anything. I want you to pray, and the only reason you can expect anything is that you add that phrase at the end. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Then God says, I will now give to you. But if you still want to continue arguing, you are the one that's growing old. My name is Ancient of Days. I am not changing. I'm telling you the truth. Be arguing with Pastor Banky there. He said. I know the truth. Let me tell you another thing. No matter how much I say, some people will not change. And God knows and is kind. For that reason, he says to the angels, guard your loins, wait for him. Guard your loins, wait for her. 15 years. He said, you will get tired. And one day, out of desperation, he said, God, please now. God said, fine. You want to pray the way Banky taught you 15 years ago? You say yes. Then he will answer so rapidly. There was a man like that. He was learning some word of faith matters. He didn't get the substance of it. He told him, you keep on declaring. You declare. So he was sick. So he declare. You know, there's a way you can turn something that has life into a mechanical thing. So he was doing that mechanical. So he became sick and sicker and sicker. And he was sicker and sicker still until he became sickest. And you know, when you are sickest, the only thing after sickest is what? Die. So he got to that point. So he said, Lord, please, I beg now, have mercy on me. And he got well. The man took all his books, threw them away. He said, this thing is a lie. True story. One day he just prayed to God. I don't know the details of how he prayed the prayer. And just said, Lord, have mercy on me. I don't want to die. Heal me. I'm now adding my own words. In the power of the name of Jesus. Please. Hey, don't you love me again? You know those kind of prayers. God, please do this one for me. Why? Because I'm begging you. The power of God hit him. The man rose up well. All the principles he had applied, he took them and threw them away. He now went around, but that was a mistake he made actually. Started preaching that this confession is not, but the truth is that he was mechanical about it. There was no life in what he was doing. And that's what I'm going to emphasize to a lot of people. What happened to you is a matter of fact. I said that into talking about vanity. Many people see operates, they are still looking for this thing. They are not looking for God. That's why they will say, when you want to give this money, visualize what you are supposed to get. You see, you are not giving to God. You are giving to that thing. You're not giving to God. You are giving to that thing. Vanity is what I'm talking about. If something blesses us, we look to the source, which is God. We never look at that thing. And that's the summary of the book of Ecclesiastes. I just want to explain the meaning of the word vanity again. There's another meaning to vanity. Listen to this. It means human effort cannot change what already exists. You'll see it as we go on now. We're going to read that now. Vanity also means that, listen, have you seen this before? You want a better job. Somebody says to you, go abroad and go and do a master's. Have you heard that before?
Yes.
You know, it's very common. And one brother told me something the other day, which we already knew before. He said one woman was lamenting to him. Two of her sons went abroad and got many extra degrees. They came back home and they can't get a job. masters from here, masters from here. They can't get a job. Yes. I could have told the person earlier, vanity of vanities. All is vanities. Another meaning of vanity is that this plotting you are plotting does not produce that result. Forget it. Apostle wants to relocate his ministry to Lagos because there are more people there. The church becomes emptier in Lagos than in Enugu. Not your own apostle. There are other apostles out there. I've seen apostles that actually, I know them. They were in Enugu like this, doing ministry. This one I'm talking about was in Benin. He now carried the ministry and said, God showed me a bigger vision. So he carried the ministry to Lagos. Eventually the whole thing collapsed. That's what they call vanity. Please, you understand the meaning of vanity now? Vanity is anything you want to achieve and you are not putting God as a source. You want to achieve wealth, you put a profession as a source. That's vanity. I hope you're getting my point. We need to explain the meaning of the word vanity properly. Let's now continue reading, okay? Now, which verse are we in? Now, verse 3. What advantage does man have in all his work which he does under the sun? Now, a generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. Also, please, I want you to follow the cycle here. A generation comes, it goes, the earth remains forever. Nothing changed. Also, the sun rises and the sun sets. And hastening to its place, it rises there again. Nothing changes. Verse 6, blowing towards the south, then turning toward the north, the wind continues swelling around. And on the secular courses, the wind returns continually. All the rivers flow into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place where the rivers flow, there they flow again. That is, the place is not full. They keep on flowing in there. All things are wearisome. Man is not able to tell it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. There's no day we say the eye is full of vision. No. Nor is the ear filled with hearing. It continues to hear. The cycle continues. That's what Solomon was trying to emphasize here. Please, follow me. I'll stop reading that in verse 11 so I can just explain everything. That which has been is that which will be. And that which has been done is that which will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun. I talked about this last time. He said, is there anything of which one might say, see, it is new. This is a reality. Already it has existed for ages, which were before us. There is no remembrance of earlier things, and also of the latter things which will occur. There will be for them no remembrance among those who will come later still. Now let me just explain something here. Solomon was just talking here about the cycles of life. I wanted to follow this. He was saying, in effect, that things have been set in motion. You did not set them in motion. I did not set them in motion. And they keep on going round and round, and it's not because of us. Are you getting my point here? That it is God that did that. Okay? And he came to this conclusion after exerting a lot of effort into trying to change things. Please, you'll see the significance of it in a moment. What Solomon's trying to say, let me just emphasize it. Things happen in cycles. These cycles are predetermined, okay? The events of life, the Bible says that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And the things that are seen did not come out of things that are visible. These were things that a man concluded concerning after he had observed life. In effect, he was saying, it is not human beings that change things because they determine to. What happens is that God has set things in seasons. Each person understands his own season and plays into that season. We'll get to it later, okay? Let's just summarize it here. Now, verse 12, let's continue reading. This was what we read last time. Now, we cannot continue from this for today. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I set my mind to seek and explore. It gets interesting now. I set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom concerning all that has been done under heaven. It is a grievous task which God has given to the sons of men to be afflicted with. I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. Now, the vanity here is talking about human effort. Please bear that in mind. That is everything we saw, we mentioned earlier. Solomon said that human beings could not change them, no matter how much they tried. He said, what is crooked cannot be straightened, and what is lacking cannot be counted. Now, he's about to describe his own adventure in trying to explain all of these things. verse 16. I said to myself, behold, I have magnified and increased wisdom more than all who were over Jerusalem before me. And my mind has observed a wealth of wisdom and knowledge. He said, and I set my mind to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I realized that this also is striving after wind. Because in much wisdom, there is much grief. And increasing knowledge results in increasing pain. Let's stop here. They will continue from chapter 2 in a moment. Now, for many of us, especially if you are quite young, you may not understand what this man is saying here. That is, I will explain it. But everybody gets to this point in life. Essentially, what is he saying? They want to understand meaning in life. I was talking about Derek Prince. That was why he became a philosopher. He just wanted to understand what is life about. That was what Solomon was referring to when he talked about, I set my mind to know wisdom and to understand madness and folly. I wanted to understand the meaning of life. That's what he was saying. Now, I'm going to emphasize something here, that you will discover that human beings pass through this cycle all the time. They start, and they write a lot of books. They write a lot of books on their meditations concerning the origin of life. What is life about? There is a man, Frederick, okay? Nietzsche. I'm going to refer to him here and there as I go on. Because, you see, these are philosophers who sat down and tried to understand life. Now, after men have finished trying to understand what life is about, and they can't, they immediately go to the next level. You see what Solomon was saying. They say, well, this life doesn't seem to have meaning. Why? Because Solomon said that wisdom in itself has problems. That the more you know, the more grief you experience. For example, you will sit down and realize how the economy of a country like this can be turned around in 24 months and it will be as good as that of, give me any country in the world. And Switzerland, thank you very much. Then your grief starts because Buhari is not doing it. Your grief starts because the president, his lieutenants, his ministers are not doing it. Then you look at National Assembly and you get angry. Now, how did men like this get there? Are you getting my point? But what you don't realize is that the only reason why you're... First, remember we talked about the cycles earlier. Those who have understanding, and may God give you understanding. Say amen.
Amen.
Understanding of God helps you calm your soul down. People get frustrated at why things are not working. When you buy newspapers, see all those men who talk, okay? They are talking because they have a lot of understanding, but they don't have proper understanding. So they are frustrated. So Solomon said, what is the use of all this understanding? When all it begets for me is what? Grief. Because in much wisdom, he said, is much grief. And increasing knowledge results in increasing pain. Now, again, you will see these things are intertwined. We'll refer to it later. Because you see Solomon amplify how these frustrations came into his life. But usually when people get to this point, what they do is get down to materialism and humanism. Let's just sit down. I'm looking for a word for it. Not humanism. This philosophical behavior.
Hedonism.
I think it's hedonism. Yes, thank you. Just material things. That's all. He said, that's the next line. He said, for that reason, I said to myself, come now. I will test you with pleasure. So enjoy yourself. He said, behold, it too was futility. That verse 1 is a summary of the next 10 or 11 verses thereabouts. Let me be sure of the number of verses. Yes. From verse 2 to verse 11 is what is summarized in verse 1 of chapter 2. Solomon said that, okay, I decided that since thinking too much is not good, let's enjoy ourselves. So I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure. So enjoy yourself. And behold, I found at the end of the day, it too was futility. I said of laughter, it is madness. And of pleasure, what does he accomplish? This was how he got to that point. That was a summary. Let's now look at what he did. I explore, when he said, I will test you with pleasure, this was what he did. Verse 3. I explore with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine, while my mind was guiding me wisely, and how to take hold of folly, until I could see what good there is for the sons of men to do under heaven the few years of their lives. This was how I enjoyed myself. Please notice in verse 4. I enlarged my works I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I bought the, now I want to modify it a bit. I bought the best cars. Are you getting my point? This was a rich man. Verse 5, I made gardens and parks for myself. I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself with which to irrigate a forest of green trees. I bought male and female slaves, and I had homeborn slaves. Also, I possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My bank account was heavy. My investments were bad. Are you getting my point here? I mean, everywhere. Verse 8. Also, I collected for myself silver and gold. That's what I'm talking about. And the treasure of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers. The pleasures of men, many concubines. Let me stop here. You know what this man has described? The American dream. Look at it again. One of our brothers, he went to school in the U.S., did a postgraduate course in the U.S. He said, those guys, he said, they drink, that is, he said that you are odd if you are not drinking. You know what they are doing? Solomon started, check it, verse 3. I explore with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine. You see, that's why I started teaching this. There's nothing new that human beings are doing. Americans pride themselves in the freedom to pursue what? Happiness. Solomon said, I said of laughter, it is madness. And of pleasure, what does he accomplish? He pursued happiness. Americans will tell you, that's their philosophy. It's as if life is about acquisition. You know their favorite pastime in the United States? Shopping. Spending money. This is what a lot of people in those countries do. The money they made today, they've spent it yesterday. Today, they are spending money that they will make over the next 1 year. The man is using an LED TV, LCD TV. They say LED has come out, he buys it. The following month, they say they now have a curved LCD, he buys it. They say, no, we now have a curved LED, he buys it. Now say, now have one that has 3D, he buys it. He goes through 10 televisions in 2 years. He hasn't finished paying for the second one. He trades in. Now, why does he do it? People don't realize it. Because when God has given you calmness in your soul, you think that you are naturally wise. You're not naturally wise. What's happening to you is that God has calmed your soul for you. When God hasn't calmed your soul, this is how you'll be pursuing everything to. When you see, in fact, David Pawson believes that advertising is of the devil. He says categorically, that a Christian doesn't have any business working in advertising. Now, I don't agree with him, okay? Now, but I'm quoting him to let you understand something. Why he said it is because when you watch their TV, he's a British man, okay? But when he sees TV, all they are doing every day is throwing things at you to put you under pressure to buy. And most people fall for that pressure. Why do they fall for it? The truth is that they are trying to find meaning in life. The man wants to be happier than he was yesterday. So, why will he become happier? He looks around. My television is 42 inches. So, I went to my friend's house. His own is 56. So, I buy a 56-inch TV. Then I'm happy for 1 week. Now, I visit another friend. He's only 72. Oh, no, I don't even visit. On that 56-inch TV, I see the advert for the 72-inch TV that just came out, and there's a lie they tell you, say, buy now and save $500. How do you save money by spending money? It's not possible. What do they mean by saving? This TV is $2,000, but if you buy now, we'll sell it to you for $1,500, and you don't have to pay for the next 12 months. This is the way they do it. So, he said, what's the big deal? Let me so that when you see, some people will tell you that if you get to America, life is easy. Life is binding. It's not easy anything. Listen, it's bondage, they said to a lot of people. He calls it savings because he buys it now. So he buys. He said, you have saved 500. He didn't save 500. You spent $1,500, which you do not have. Then I say, buy now, pay later. What they don't tell you They said no interest for 12 months. What you don't know is that the day you, at the end of the 12 months, they calculate the interest from day one, unless you have finished paying by 12 months' time. But most importantly, it's like a drug. You will enjoy it for 1 month. After that, you need another fix. Now, listen to me. One of the things that excited me when I said, let me teach you this thing, when I was studying it, is that, see, this is a life that people still go through every day. Why do they let it happen to them? It's in the scriptures. That the thing you think you are going to get from that next acquisition is a lie. Once a friend of mine and I were standing, you know, we're looking at very nice rides, fine cars passing. He now made a statement. He said, "Did you know they are not happy inside their big cars than we are in this small one?" I said, "That means we are not happier in this small one than those who are on the bike." Yes, get it clear. It's not only the other way it works. It works both ways. And listen, in this life, if God... your joy must enter your soul when you are trekking. If you cannot rejoice while trekking, believe me, your joy in your big car will last only a month. Then you need a bigger one. I want to emphasize this thing for people. Solomon said, "I did everything. I went after material things." I had the video, Fabulous Lifestyle of Filthy Rich Billionaires. And they will show you how men, you know, who have money, no spend money. The first day I watched it, I was laughing to myself. I said, this is all vanity. They will tell you how people like Abramovich, who many of you know who watch football, and Larry Ellison of Oracle, all those men, they compete on who has the biggest boat. Let me tell you something. The cost of owning a boat, all right, the cost of maintaining one of those super yachts, when you've bought them, is 10% of the buying price every year. Let me explain what I'm saying. They can be expensive. So let's assume you make one for $100 million, okay, or $200 million. Every month, every year, you expend 10% of that cost to keep it floating, to keep it working. And they show you how rich people are living. But what they don't tell you is that even Americans have done the statistical studies. They've checked their sociology, checked everything. And they found out that once your income crosses about, is it $200,000 per annum, you don't get happier. That's not scripture. That's their own research. That no matter what you do, you don't get happier. Look at life. People will tell you that, you know, isn't the way people have never been everywhere, freak over the fact that they are going abroad. If the thing is exciting, you know you have not gone there before. So don't just disgrace yourself. Just don't let it excite you. It makes me laugh. African man go run from Africa, go America. American man go run, go Kenya, come see Kenya. Vanity upon what? Nice. Vanity. Let me tell you how God will bless you in life. Ability to enjoy your sitting room. Amen. When God wants to bless you, He will give you the ability to sit down in your sitting room and be excited. To trek around the neighborhood and be excited. For you to, today, my wife and I saw two birds who landed on a line in front of our house. We were rushing to get the phone out to film it. We thought they were dancing in unison. And we're laughing and enjoying it. And I tell my wife a lot of times, I say, this is what they call wealth. The ability to sit down here with a woman you love, according to Solomon. I'm looking at birds and I'm laughing excitedly. See how, look at. You can tell me I'm behaving like a child, it's your problem. The fact is that men pay thousands of dollars to have that amount of joy. Listen, when they take cocaine and get a high for an hour or two, they don't get as happy as I got for 5 minutes watching birds with my wife. I'm telling you the truth. Listen, until your joy bubbles from inside you, you are not blessed yet. I'm telling you. Until a little thing excites you, do you get my point? Excites you. Something small. Because you are seeing God in it. Like today when we're looking at those birds. I mean, my wife said, get the phone now, get the phone. I was rushing to get the phone out, but one of them now flew away. Hey, I said, this bird, I won't film you now. You know what happened? Like one landed on a thin, you know, this old nitrile line.
So it was a soft one. So the bell was not balanced. So it was flapping up and down like this. And that one landed beside it. And they were flapping exactly in unison. Honestly. They were not dancing. But because the line was shaking both of them at the same time, the reflexes that God planted in their brain was causing the bodies to respond in exactly the same way. It looked like synchronous dancing. We rushed the phone, tried to film it, but one man said, we derived joy in it. Those are the things that people will pay thousands of dollars to see. It's not the sight they want to see, it's the joy they want to have. Solomon said that, listen, I did everything that people are doing today. And he said, my people, don't bother. It's vanity. Now you say, but you enjoyed the birds, but I didn't spend money. That's what I wanted to understand. The birds landed in front of my window. I don't know whether you're getting my point. If I now decide now that, man, that thing was exciting, and I invest 200,000 naira to go and look for how birds will land in front of me, when there are other problems to solve, God will say, Banky, your head needs to be screwed back together in one piece. Now, are you getting my point here? Yeah, that's a matter of fact. And that's what Solomon was talking about. The joy was not in the birds. It was in us, appreciating what God had done. God planted joy in us. That's why the birds could bring them out. Do you get my point? If we didn't have joy in us, the birds would not have been able to bring it out. Solomon was saying that, I did all of these things. I'm trying to summarize something here. That what we are trying today, they bring the newest phone. You are looking for money to buy it. They bring the newest TV. You look at it with longing. The day I get money. And then Samsung and Apple are using you to get rich. If you are changing your phone every year to the latest model, one of two things. One, either you are so rich, you don't even notice when you are changing it, in which case it is righteous, your money has to go around, your foolishness must spread the money. Yeah, that's how it is. You know, before I used to be very angry with people who are rich, who are doing some things. Now I'm not angry anymore. When they say a man got up and bought a painting for $5 million, you know, as a man who has not seen $5 million, like, what kind of thing is that one? Don't mind him. Just be paying by painting for $5 million. Oh, rubbish. Vanity upon vanity. All these vanities. I don't say that anymore. I just look and said, listen, if Bill Gates does not buy painting for $5 million, how will the men selling the painting make money? Let him buy for $5 million. He's not struggling to pay the money. So I don't bother such people anymore. It is vanity to buy it. It's vanity to think about it, about why he bought it. All of them is vanity. So I don't worry myself. And let me just drop another thing. Can I drop it quickly? I said something earlier, very important for me to clarify this. That what makes something vanity really is the effort we put into getting it. That's what makes it real vanity. Like these trees that Solomon was talking about, you will notice there's nothing he outlined here that he met there. Let me say what I'm trying to say. It is, I gathered for myself. I acquired this. I did this one. I had this one done. It is not, I took a stroll in the park to observe the work of God. I don't know whether you notice the difference. It was, I did this one. I put my effort to do this. I spent money. Solomon said, I made ponds of water to irrigate a forest of growing trees. That's effort. I bought, notice that, male and female slaves. I collected for myself silver and gold. I provided for myself male and female singers and pleasures of men, many concubines. I built houses. I planted vineyards. It's the effort that he was talking about. It's not those things themselves. I don't know whether you follow what I'm saying here. It's the effort. Vanity is when we put in effort for those things. A blessing is when they come without your effort. If Solomon had said, I took a stroll in the morning and I saw the birds flying and I saw the trees growing, and I saw fruit trees of all kinds, he would never have said, and they were vanity. There are words you don't use when God is the one doing his work. I hope you're following my point here. The problem was that Solomon was putting that effort to do those things for himself. I'm going somewhere. Many people, in their foolishness, are comparing themselves with people that God gave things. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Let me say what I say. You go to the airport to fly. You buy your ticket you can afford, 20,000 naira to go to Lagos, economy class. Then a man who is your mate, that proverbial mate, I don't know who it is. Your mate comes and walks straight to business class. Or you are going abroad, God gave you money, you were able to buy economic class ticket to go to America. Then you saw your friend. And he said, how now? You're going to the US? I'm going to the US. Where? Atlanta? How? Are you on Delta? I'm on Delta. Oh, how are you? Let's go together now. They enter the same plane and it sits in first class. And you are there, economy class. And they have you to enjoy your chair, which you paid for. You're thinking. Life. And a man putting effort that is right. So you make up your mind, from now on, I'm fine first class. And really, next time you want to go, you sit down, put in effort to gather money, you borrow from your friend. Ah, Chuks, I bet. You have that kind of 300,000 that I'll give you next week. You collect, you go to your bank, sign for overdraft. Then you tell somebody, hold my car. If I don't give your money back, you take it. Finally, you gather the 1.5 million naira and pay for... No, by now it'll be like 2.something million naira. Pay for first class to fly for 10 hours. And of course, you and your friend, you land at the same... This is on the plane too. And I say, oh, how are you doing? No, no, I'm fine. You sit down. God says, I'll soon punish somebody. Just watch. What you don't realize is that he's not owing anybody. What you don't realize is that he's a representative for a company that thinks that flying first class is a status of their PR men. For that reason, they pay. He didn't pay a dime. The Bible said, you are running with men. They are wearing you out. What will happen when you are running with horses? You don't know you are running with a horse. So at the time, you are panting. Why? Look at the effort you put in. Like I told you, what makes something vanity is the effort too. Your friend's flight in first class is not vanity. Somebody is paying for it. It's not bothering him. I know the truth. At the end of the day, both of you will land in Atlanta the same time. There's nothing like, okay, first class is landing, economy will land in about 2 hours. There's nothing like that. If that, God forbid, that plane will not crash, amen? But if it does, all of you are dying together. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Solomon was saying, guys, wake up. It's not worth the effort. And believe me, after 1 week of arriving there, you've forgotten the travel. It's a 10-hour flight. Please, I hope you're getting my point. Solomon was trying to tell us, say, listen, I went through all of these things and I found out it was what? Vanity. And my preaching today is that believe him. Tell your neighbor, believe him. Don't invest effort into becoming comfortable. Because that effort has cost. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yes, it has cost. You don't lose sleep to gain sleep. What I'm saying is that don't lose 5 hours sleep because you want to be able to sleep for 5 hours extra. What's the big deal? Just sleep the 5 hours of today. You know, there was a man. I've told this story here before. Many of you may have read it. We'll look at it in context. Because what I'm going to do is to understand the mind of God. They say a man, I don't know where it really happened, but it's a story we used to illustrate things. A man one day was sitting on the beach, and he saw a man sitting down under a tree, smoking a pipe. It's a fisherman. He said, why are you smoking? Why are you not working at 11 o'clock in the morning? The man said, no, I worked early in the morning. I'm a fisherman. I've caught enough fish for the day. The man said, at 11 o'clock, then go and catch some more fish. The man said, no, I have enough. The one I caught will solve all my problems. The guy said, catch more fish. That man said, what will I do with it? He said, if you catch extra fish, you can sell it. He said, after that, he said, you get some money. What will I do with the money? The one I caught this morning is enough for everything. He said, no, maybe you can buy another boat. The guy said, what would I do with another boat? He said, then you can catch more fish. Ah! What would I do with the extra fish? He said, you can even sell the extra fish, and you can buy engines for your boats, and go deep into the ocean to fish some more. So that man was looking like, what will I do with all this extra fish? He said, you will sell it, then you will have a fleet of boats fishing for you. The man said, please explain to me. What will I do with everything? He said, you now become a big man, a rich man like me. That guy was a rich man. He said, when I become a rich man like you, what will happen? He said, then you can really enjoy life. He said, what do you think I'm doing right now? And he just turned around, lay down, continued smoking his pipe. At the level, he said, you don't know what you're saying. I will go through all of this to come back to this point. Right now, I'm enjoying myself. And believe me, that's what you need in life. The ability to bubble with joy wherever you are. You now say, should everybody have that attitude? We'll get to it later. Well, let me just drop that for a moment. You see it. What that guy didn't see, the purpose for all of that is not to enjoy yourself. It's to provide employment for other people. If you have 10 boats, each one being manned by 5 people, that's 50 people working. Is that purpose thing that's different for a believer? Because real enjoyment, believe me, you see it where it comes from in a moment. Let's read for some more before we go. So that's the point Solomon was making. That all of these things, I did them. And I found out, now please don't forget what we said the other time, that this is how life is without God. This is how life is when we are not following God and making the pleasure of God the paramount thing in our hearts. Solomon said in verse 10, all that my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. So the desires of the heart fulfilled do not bring forth fulfillment. Does it make somebody have everlasting joy? That's what he was saying. He said, I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, that my heart was pleased. For my heart was pleased because of all my labor, and this was my reward for all my labor. Verse 11 says, thus, I considered all my activities with which my hand had done, and the labor which I had exerted. Now notice that. I considered what? All my activities, and the labor which I had exerted. And behold, the labor, all the activities, was vanity, and it was striving after wind. And there was no net profit under the sun. Now, I use the word net. He didn't say so. But what he was saying, in effect, is that when I see what came in, I compare with what went out, there was no profit. That's the problem with people sometimes. They don't check the effort they are putting into things. Sometimes a man will save for 1 year, deny himself of all kinds of pleasures. Why? I want to take my wife and my children. I want to go to Europe for holiday. 1 year saving. You can't help anybody. You are not enjoying yourself. Then you go and enjoy yourself in America in Europe for 2 weeks. The Bible says it is no profit. You are very foolish if you think you have achieved anything. That is why you have to tell everybody the story. Yeah, you have to keep telling the story. No, when we got to Switzerland, we actually went for a ski. Forget it. You didn't enjoy the skiing. The problem was that after you saved for 12 months, at the end of 2 weeks, you realize you were a fool. So you are now trying. No, I'm telling you the truth. You are now trying to prove that it was worth it. Those who really enjoy it, who don't have to tell stories about it, they didn't stay for 12 months. They just woke up one day. Man, this weekend, I don't want any disturbance. So your wife says, why don't you just go to Switzerland? You think so? Will you come with me? I will go if you will come. Okay, let me rearrange my schedule. But your son said he will come next time you are traveling. No? Okay, bring him. My sister is complaining. Okay, bring them too. So on Monday, they decide that they are going to Switzerland on Thursday. Thursday, they go. All of them come back after like 8 days. And they come home. And the boy doesn't brag about it in school. It's not my life. So it's the poor people that come to school. I'm coming from Switzerland. I'm coming from Switzerland. according to Pastor Okemute, God punish poverty. All that's the truth. Let me tell you something. In life, you will get to your own place. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
Anything you are struggling to do, Solomon says, is vanity. If you are struggling and striving, Solomon said it's vanity. That if you put the effect, that if you do your arithmetic well, check the effort you put in and check what came out of it for you, is loss. There's no profit. There is no profit. There is no profit. Once the material thing, he said no profit. We are believers. God is actually watching over our lives. Anything that's important for us to please him, he will supply. How you know something is not yours yet? He said, the earth produces by itself, first the ear, then the blade, then the full grain in the ear. He said, the earth, he now said that when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle, for the harvest has come. I like that expression in King James, when the crop permits. What does it mean for crop to permit? It means the thing falls down easily. It doesn't mean there's nothing to put in, but easy when it's falling in. Stop looking for material things that's not permitting in your life. I keep on telling some people that it is wrong for you to buy a shirt. 2 months later, you are still paying. That shirt is too expensive. I am not joking. There are efforts you don't put in certain things. Some people will buy perfume. 2 months later, 3 months, you are still paying for perfume. May they rub shit on your body because you need it. You need it. You need it. You can't go and meet one aboki to find you something. How's that perfume? Small. You rub them for her incense. Rub them under your cloth like this. You smell like a priest. Are you getting my point? You're paying for perfume for 3 months. Are you all right? You know, it makes me laugh. People say, madam, that suit, oh, please. Oh, I know. I'm still coming. 4th month on a suit. Listen. Just go and meet one of your senior brothers or senior friends and say, bros, how far now? Pastor Banky said there's a principle of gleaning. When you've won your portion of that suit, I'm gleaning it. Abi? It's simple. Just look there. Pastor, good afternoon. May I check your size? What size do you wear? I tell you. So God, that's my size. There's no fighting it. Look, it's very godly. How can you be paying for a suit for 4 months? You are wearing a vanity shirt. In fact, it will be worse when the designer has... Is this vanity face the designer? Right? Yes, that one is vanity. I'm telling you the truth. There are things you shouldn't do. You shouldn't buy a phone. At the end of 12 months, Fine Brothers is still reminding you of your installment. And it's not as if there are service providers that you know in those countries. You'll be paying. No, there are things you cut down low on. Because he said when the crop permits, it puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. When the harvest hasn't come, don't harvest it. It's not your own. It's the effort I'm trying to talk about. Solomon said, this was the effort I put in. He said, at the end of the day, there's no profit. At the end of the day, there's no profit. Do things in life that profit you. Are you getting my point? Do things in life that, when I say that profit you, don't save money for 2 years to go and see Europe for 1 week. You don't, no, listen, that's madness. You don't save for 2 years to see Europe for 1 week. You don't understand what is valuable in life. Anyway, Solomon said, after I proved all of these things, I turned to consider wisdom, madness, and folly. That is, he went back again to what? Introspection. To meditation. For what will the man do who will come after the king except what has already been done? And I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. He said, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I know that one fate befalls both of them. Then I said to myself, as is the fate of the fool, it will also befall me. Why then have I been extremely wise? So I said to myself, this too is vanity. This is just repeating what he said earlier, so let's not spend time on it. For there is no lasting remembrance of the wise man as with the fool, inasmuch as in the coming days all will be forgotten. And how the wise man and the fool alike die. So I hated life. For the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything is futility and striving after wind. Now, what was Solomon saying here? It's just a summary of everything again. All these adventures. All right, let me sit down and calculate things. Let me be able to speak, because you must understand, He was putting in effort in here. This is not his natural wisdom he was talking about. Because natural wisdom God had given him, and that wisdom was the one that he was using to look at all of these things. This wisdom was talking about effort he puts in into researching some things. For example, he decides to be a scientist and study the, you know, have you seen what scientists do a lot of times? Let's see the origin of the stars. They build the best microscope, telescope. And they be searching everywhere. And after somebody had finished searching everything, he now said, there's one star called Nebula Saturn Bumula 252 in one particular sector of the universe that it exploded 2,500 years ago. And the light reached the earth just now. Solomon said, a fool will still die the way you will die. That is, after all these years of studying the stars, all right, you will be forgotten. That men have studied the stars before you. Are you getting me? They've written all kinds of things. The one that he used effort to try and bring out. Let me research things that nobody knows before. The Lord is good though. When I watch TV, I normally watch news, documentaries. Those are the kind of things I watch. News analysis, documentaries, economic matters, business things, you know, things that keep your head informed. You hardly find me watching Africa Magic. You hardly find me, of course, I think Z World is for jobless women. Most of those channels, I think, is just a waste of godly time. There are things that God shouldn't find you watching. When the Holy Spirit comes and sees you watching there, he will depart from you. Say, where did you go? You went to your bedroom. Say, when you finish watching TV, come and meet there. Then we will pray. So let's pray, please, I'm coming. Let me just watch this scene. I'm coming. At the end of the day. And one of the reasons why I don't watch all of those things, which is another reason why I don't watch football. I say it's the same thing. There's nothing. Listen, let me tell you the truth. If you have not watched the match of Manchester United versus Chelsea that was played in 1985, if I give you today, it's the same enjoyment. And if you check, it's the same way they played now that they played then. There's no difference. All is what? Vanity. Thank you very much. Anyway, when I watch some of these things there, what happens is that, you know, I see a lot of, the other day he showed one young man, and he was there, they're talking, he said, is he a volcanologist, that this young man is? What does he do? He works, he doesn't really study volcanoes, he climbs volcanoes. I just found my passion was climbing volcanoes. I said, you know, prosperity has its own problem. A man just wake up in the morning and say, my passion is to climb a volcano. Volcanoes, people have been climbing there for a long time. And Solomon said, at the end of the day, they die exactly like the fools. No difference. So he's a world authority in volcanoes. What does it mean? It means he has climbed more volcanoes. I was watching the boy on TV. And they were showing him, like, he's a big, young guy, maybe like about 28, you know, with his plenty hair, you know. I just found out that I couldn't sit down in school. I wasn't learning anything. It's emptiness. Somebody say emptiness. Emptiness is horrible. Just wake up in the morning, say my job. So he started traveling around, looking for volcanoes to climb. Let me make a long story short. He now became wise in volcanoes. And Solomon said, I tried that also. And I found out that the men that know nothing about volcanoes and me, we all die exactly the same way. So I made up my mind that it is what? Vanity. For there is no lasting remembrance of the wise man as with the fool. So in the coming days, all of them will be forgotten. How the wise man and the fool alike die. That wisdom he was talking about was not the wisdom of God that God gave to him. Because that was what he used to pursue this other type of wisdom. He was just talking about advanced knowledge. That's what he was talking about. Listen. You know, because of my natural training, I see this also. There are journals they give us, we read through it. And you just say, these people are just doing the wisdom, this foolish wisdom that Solomon is talking about. So at the end of the day, they will be forgotten. There are millions of them that have done such things. And I say, but people make discoveries. We'll find out, we'll talk about it later. Discoveries people make, Solomon said, it was not determined by human beings. It was a season. Oh God. This man found out that those who made those discoveries were not the ones that studied the longest. I don't know whether I get my point. Yes. Antibiotics. Who discovered them? Ian Fleming. Antibiotics. The first penicillin, it was Ian Fleming. How did he find out? He was a microbiologist who did not wash his things well. So he picked up a dish that was not cleaned and found out the bacteria had died because it was dirty. So mold grew on it and the bacteria died. I don't know whether you're getting my point. So the man said, what's going on here? He cultured more bacteria and put the mold there. And if anywhere the mold is growing, the bacteria will die. So they quickly went and checked, and that was the beginning of antibiotics in life. It was not a man's effort. It was an accident. It was an accident. That's what Solomon was saying. Anyway, we'll get that to that one later. So let me hurry. I'm just watching my time. Okay? He says, so I hated life for the work which had been done before. All this research I've done didn't amount to anything. Everything was futility and striving after what? Wind. Thus I hated all the labor, verse 18, of my, I hated all the fruit of my labor. Please notice the word again, labor. Somebody say labor. That is what the problem is. Thus I hated all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun. For I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And that's the next problem. Who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the fruit of my labor for which I have labored by acting wisely under the sun. He said, this too is what? Vanity. Therefore, I completely despaired of all the labor, all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun. He said, when there is a man who has labored with wisdom, knowledge and skill, then he gives his legacy to one who has not labored with them. This too is vanity and a great injustice, a great evil. For what does a man get in all his labor and in his striving under which he labors under the sun? Because all his days, his task is painful and grievous. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is vanity. You know what Solomon was saying here? A man is acquiring things. He's studying some more to gain assets. He's studying some more to be able to make money. That's the wisdom he was talking about. He said during the day he's working, at night he's planning. That means at night his mind does not rest. He's calculating tomorrow morning when we get to the office, I'm going to have my secretary call Dangote's secretary. Then they're going to discuss this. At night too, he's not resting. He's plotting and plotting, trying to get more. He said at the end of the day, he amasses, becomes a billionaire. Then he dies. And one thing his son never did is labor like this. And the boy inherits everything. So Solomon is thinking. He said, number one, that is vanity and a great evil. That is not fair. Why? But that's how God has set it in motion. That's another thing he emphasized. It has been set in motion like this. He said, for that reason, I was so angry. Now, notice verse 24. We're going to stop around here. No, let's just finish chapter 2, please. Now, notice verse 24. Because I became angry now, I decided, why walk like that? There's nothing better for a man than to eat and drink. All this money you have gathered, eat it and drink it. And to tell himself that his labor is good. He said, this also I have seen, that it is from the hand of God. What was he saying? It's an affliction. He wasn't saying that it's a blessing of God. The idea that, listen, when you labor, you don't get satisfaction. You don't know what happened in the next generation. So I came to the conclusion, look, you know the truth? And that you make money, eat it, drink it. So buy your children. Some of them will be fools. Don't just worry yourself. Say, but some of them won't be fools. And let them come and make their own money. That's what he was saying. He said, well, he said, this is what God has afflicted us with. Please, I hope you are getting the point. Solomon was demonstrating that this is what God has afflicted us with. That's one way. But notice another thing, verse 25. He said, but who can eat? For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? That is, without God. Now notice verse 26. For to a person who is good in his sight, he has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. Not money. Not goods. What did God give to those who are good in his sight? Wisdom, knowledge, and joy. The primary thing God gives you if he loves you is not money. Your car is not a sign that God loves you. Your bank account is not a sign of true divine prosperity. The real sign of divine prosperity is that you have what? Wisdom, knowledge, and joy. That's godly wisdom. God is saying for us to sit down here and be imparted with this understanding. That's a greater gift. Do you know, if you tell people now, all right, today in Kingdom World Ministries, God has blessed us with a lot of money, so we're going to be sharing out 5,000 naira, you know, next Bible study. You know, many people know, come follow me to Bible study. Why? Just come. Pastor is sharing out money. By the time I reach here, Jonathan will not have where to sit. He will stand outside. Why? People value what? Money. But they don't realize that the one that is going on right now is worth much more than money. That is what God gives to those he loves. Wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Now listen to this. While to the sinner, he has given the task of gathering and collecting, so that he may give to the one that God has already given wisdom, knowledge, and joy. He says so that God will give to the one who is good in his sight. Solomon said, this too is vanity. What is vanity here? For a man to keep striving and gathering and collecting. He said it is vanity. He said if that man was pleasing to God, what will happen? God will give him wisdom, knowledge, and joy. And he will make people who are striving, gathering, drop things in his hands. Listen to me. Let me give you a prophetic word. He said all the people that stole money and built houses, they will sell the houses for a quarter of the price. That's what Solomon was saying. Listen, there are those who will steal money, build one big house. The house is worth maybe 150 million. Fair rent in Nigeria of today probably be 3 million a year. But nobody's paying 3 million, and they will tell you to stay in there and you pay 250,000 a year. That's the fulfillment of scripture. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Listen, in life, let me stop here because of time. In life, and that's what we're learning this for. We locate ourselves. What did I say? Each person, make sure you make up your mind. What am I? Am I a sinner? Because sinner there, it was not just talking about somebody who's committing sin, even though that's what it is. But the explanation there, that this is a man who has no wisdom, who has no knowledge, who has no joy, who does not understand what life is. He's striving every day to gather, to get more, to get more, to get more. God said, don't worry. Many times Christians think that the man will just carry money and dash you. They are different. You know, like I say all the time, God always collects his money. You know that? He always collects his money. He always collects his money. There are different ways. I'm just giving you one way. He builds houses. Okay, like there's one man in America I heard of, one church. You know, like this our mall here now. A man went to a town, built a very big mall. At the end of the day, the whole project collapsed. I don't mean the building, the project didn't work out. Patronage was poor, so he had to shut down. Finally, they sold the mall for like $1 million, which they built for maybe like 10 million. And the church bought it. It became their church with all the parking space and everything. Did you see what God just did? The man that was striving, God collected and gave to the one that's pleasing his sight, who had given wisdom, knowledge, and joy. That's how God does things. Sometimes people will say that, why are these rich men building many houses? Please stop talking like people who don't have wisdom, knowledge, and joy. If they don't build many houses, do you think you have where to stay, you that have not built anyone? Believe me, what we pay for rent generally in our country, okay, is a tiny fraction of what it costs to build a building. So let the people keep on building. Are you getting my point here? Because God is blessing you with somebody else's effort. And let me tell you the truth. In life, once you put in a lot of effort into anything, you have to bless somebody else with it. There's nothing you can do. Even if you are righteous. Because the sinner in this context is not that the man has not given his life to Christ. It's that he's not operating according to what? Wisdom, knowledge, and joy. We'll continue from this point. But let me just emphasize. Solomon was not saying Christians should be lazy. Like I said, he wasn't saying Christians should be lazy, but he was saying, what are you trying to do? How much effort are you putting in into what you are trying to do? It's very important. You get that point. What is the purpose for what you are trying to do? Maybe at the end, I will explain it again. There is nothing, anything you are doing in life, if it's not increasing the knowledge of God in your life, is a waste of your time. Last year, the greatest lesson my wife and I discussed at home is how to cooperate with grace. Listen, anything that will come into your hands as a believer, make sure it comes on the basis of grace. See all these business books you read, 17 Keys for Effective Business Management, burn them in 2017. I know what I'm telling you. Listen, everything you do, God says through it, because later on you find at the end of the day, Solomon said, I have found on everything that is fear God, obey his commandments. So if you are doing business, what is your primary thing? How do I fear God in my activities? That's it. What is the fear of God in what I'm learning, in what I'm doing? How am I discovering and spreading the fear of God? If it's just about money, shut it down. You're wasting time. You will make money, but you give somebody else. People who are lazy, we feed off. You know, it's very, you know, our country, once you are working hard, we'll get there. Not our country, it's worldwide. Solomon said that, what is the big deal? This man, you make more money. He said, the more wealth increases. What's the next thing? He said, the more the mouth that come to eat it. He said, that too is also vanity. Let me tell you something. You cannot rebuke vanity. Vanity is part of life. I don't know whether I get my point. You can't rebuke it. You just don't participate in it. You can't be doing vanity things and saying, in the name of Jesus. Vanity is not what I'm doing. If you are doing vanity, it is vanity. If you labor hard and gather plenty of money, plenty people will eat it. And it's for your own safety. If you don't let them eat it, you will now be offending God. You say, I'm going to lay it up for many years to come. It's the result of my labor. God will say, you fool. This day, this life, like I say, God always collects his money. Some people say, no, I'll keep it in the bank. That is it. That's how they used to get employment. If you steal 10 billion and put it in a bank, they will employ at least 5 people because of you. The interest from your money is what is paying their salaries. You can't rebuke vanity. Either you participate in it or you don't. What are we teaching? Is a purpose with which we do what we are doing as believers that matters. It's purpose. All of this is when people are doing things outside God. God has given each one of us a commandment. He has given us what to do with our lives. If I get up in the morning, why am I here? I want to go and spread the knowledge of God into my hearers. When you go out to your office, there's also a purpose like that. It's not only preachers that have this kind of purpose. I hope you're getting my point. Then, acquisition will not be the primary thing in your heart. You know that whether I have money or not, I will still be joyful. My joy bubbles from inside. It doesn't bubble from outside. That is why economy is good, economy is bad. It doesn't drive you up and down. Purpose is what drives you up and down. People say that in this country, you don't have constant power. Get to where there's constant power. After 6 months you are used to it, you find constant trouble. I mean, something else will come up. That's just the way life is. How have we gotten my point? We'll continue from this particular point. I'm happy we're able to get to the end of chapter 2. Let's just bow down our heads and pray. Let's close. Let's just give God thanks for today. Again, say, Lord, I am not a son of vanity. I'm not a child of vanity. Could you declare that to the Lord as you pray? Declare, say, Lord, I receive from you wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy in the Holy Spirit. I receive wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Pray. Don't be quiet. Just pray. Declare to the Lord, joy in the Holy Spirit is my portion. Joy in the Holy Spirit is my portion. I refuse to make my life an experiment. I am not going to repeat Solomon's experiments, no. Joy in the Holy Spirit, that's my portion. Let's give him thanks because he's so good. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Next time we'll come back, I'll continue on that. There is a time for everything. Then just now I talked about people striving. Then we'll talk briefly again about those who are walking in foolishness. Because many people say, I will not strive. Are you getting my point? And Solomon said, they are walking in what? Foolishness. Wake up in the morning and say, I'm not going to do anything today. Solomon said, see what I'm saying? That's the opposite. What is that? Folly. This is folly. It's balance that's the key to life. The ability to walk with God and do God's assignment on a daily basis. Because people, anytime you finish preaching like this, they say that Solomon said, we don't need to walk, just go home and go and sleep. Solomon says, see what I'm telling you. I tried that one also. I found out it was worse than working hard. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. And next time, I really am eager to get there. You know the meaning of there is a time for everything. Many of us interpret it like this. There's a time to wake up and there is a time to sleep, which is not a lie. But that was not exactly what Solomon was saying. Solomon was saying that there is a time for your prosperity. It was determined, it's not because of your strength, not your labor. It's an appointed season. He wasn't saying that 8 o'clock is time to wake up. No. He said, there's a particular time I have found out that Donald Trump become American president. I'm telling you. He said, there is a time for every event. Each event has what? It's time. The point I'm going to make is that if you understand Solomon, you understand what he's saying, your life will be easy. Your life will be easy. He's saying that the date, listen to me, many of these people are striving for. You walk with God. God has his timing for each individual. Each child of God has his own timing. If you like strive, he said that, look, that time you can't change it.